Chapter 8. Wookiee powered, rebellion approved. The only thing that made Motok different from a thousand other cities in the Outer Rim that Han Solo had visited at one time or another was, as far as he could tell, the presence of the dome. And even that wasn't unique. It was just another city founded by colonists who'd ventured out from the core worlds in search of opportunity and a better life. It had grown, it had flourished, it had faced setbacks, it had built a dome, and life had gone on and ever on as it did. There were people in Motok who were born, lived, and would die without ever leaving the dome, without ever knowing what it was to breathe fresh air or feel natural weather, rain or snow, or the kiln-dry heat of a desert world. Solo felt a little sorry for those people. The galaxy was a big place. The universe, a bigger one. It seemed a waste of life not to try to taste at least some of the feast that was out there. They'd rented a speeder, one of the new V-40s at the port, and Chewie didn't approve of the choice, mostly because the vehicle hadn't been built with Wookiees in mind. It was a little on the flashy side, a slate gray with black flarings and a convertible top, but Solo hadn't picked it for those features. It would be fast, and he knew the Imperials would be after them soon enough, if not already. Speed, as it had been so many times before him, was a crucial ally. It wasn't cheap either, but he figured they had the credits to burn. And anyway, he'd bill Her Royal Annoyance and the Rebel Alliance for it once they'd made the rendezvous. Solo programmed the Indash Navicomp and set a destination near the location Delia had given them. He was still a little annoyed at her reluctance to believe he was working with the rebels, then found himself wondering why he cared what she thought of him anyway. It irked him only slightly more that she'd looked to Chewie for confirmation, that his word hadn't been good enough. Sure, there were times when Solo lied. There were times when he cheated. There were times when he played fast and loose, but never with his friends.
"I'm a trustworthy guy," he said to Chewbacca, out of the blue. "I mean, you can trust me, right?"
The Wookiee shifted in the seat beside him, his knees nearly tucked beneath his chin, still trying to get comfortable. He let out a low collection of rumbles, punctuated with a bark.
"That's different," Solo said. "You know that's different. Dealing with people like Jabba, you've got to stay on your toes. Those types, they're always looking to put one over on us. It's a question of doing it to them before they do it to us."
Chewbacca growled, barked softly again.
"Name one time! Name one!"
The Wookiee rumbled and began speaking. After 30 seconds or so, Solo cut him off.
"You've made your point,"
Chewie chuckled.
"We came back to help the kid."
A snort.
"That was not all about a reward."
Another snort.
"The princess trusted me enough to ask us to do this."
Chewie smoothed the fur covering his knees and looked at Solo. The Wookiee barked.
"Okay, fine. She trusted us both. So did Delia."
Chewie just shook his head and growled gently. Solo guided the speeder off the main drag and down a narrowing side street. Buildings were getting shorter, the neighborhood clearly turning more downscale with faulty lighting and fewer pedestrians.
"Yeah,"
Solo said, more to himself than his friend.
"Yeah, they trust you, not me. You're right."
The Navicomp chimed, and Solo pulled the land speeder over, parking it around the corner from the address Delia had provided. He and Chewie took a moment to check the street and saw it was all but deserted, with the exception of a municipal service droid vainly fighting a losing battle against litter. Solo pulled himself up and swung his legs over the edge of the speeder. Chewie took longer, snarling to himself.
"Stop complaining," Solo said. "Next time I'll pick something bigger, okay?"
They rounded the corner, headed down the block. A sign ahead of them flickered with faulty wiring, alternately telling them that there was vacancy or not, depending on when the circuits cut out. The doors to the hotel slid apart as they approached, one of them sticking, forcing Chewbacca not only to bend his head to clear the top of the doorframe, but also to turn sideways. Solo led the way through the lobby, ignoring the droid clerk behind the counter. It wasn't the lowest-rent hotel Solo had visited, but he wouldn't recommend it to his friends. An old human was asleep on a bench beside the elevators, but he woke up enough to yawn and stare at them as they waited for the car.
"Your friend needs a shave,"
the man said. "Never heard that one before."
Solo reached into a pocket, pulled a couple of credits, and held them out.
"You want to make a little change?"
"Depends what I have to do."
"You see anyone coming through here who looks like they don't belong, you hit the environment alert. You do that for me?"
"You mean anyone aside from him?"
The man indicated Chewbacca.
"You know what I mean."
The old man eyed the chits in Solo's palm.
"I can do that."
"You're a credit to our species," Solo told him.
They came off the elevator and into a dimly lit hall, the scent of old food and sweat strong in the air. Chewie eased the strap for his bowcaster off his shoulder and moved the weapon into his hands, checking in both directions as Solo moved forward, reading the numbers on the doors. Solo's right hand dropped to his holster and unsnapped the strap holding his blaster in place. The Wookiee made an almost inaudible woof.
"Yeah, pal," Solo said. "Me too."
They reached the door to the room Delia had given them. There was a doorbell, but Solo ignored it. Delia had told him to knock. He rapped his knuckles once beneath the eye slit.
"Here for a pickup," he said. "Package from Alderaan."
There was silence. Behind him, Solo could sense Chewie checking the hall, covering his back.
"I remember Alderaan," a voice said from the other side of the door.
"Never forget," Solo said.
The magnetic locks on the door slid back with a solid thunk.
"Come in," the voice said.
Solo shared a look with Chewie, then tabbed the open button on the panel above the doorbell. The door slid open immediately, revealing a room narrower than the hall itself and even more poorly lit. A single fixture, recessed into the wall on the left, guttered, then flared bright for a moment. And in it, Solo could see a man, dressed in refugee attire, tears in his tunic and poncho. He looked to be in his mid-20s at most, and like a man who was living on a cocktail of suspicion, fatigue, and worry. His hands were out of sight beneath the poncho, and Solo had a very good idea what they were holding.
"Close it behind you," the man said.
Solo stepped inside far enough to allow Chewie to enter behind him. The door closed with a whine, and the one ceiling light flicked on, dropping a blue-white glare onto all of them.
"Who are you?"
"Han Solo. I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon."
Solo jerked a thumb back toward Chewbacca, looming over his shoulder.
"This is Chewbacca, my partner."
The man looked at them, then brought his hands out empty from where they'd been hidden.
"Emet, you're my ride?"
"We're your ride. Sooner we're out of here, the better."
"No argument."
The light suddenly changed hue, flashing red. An instant later, a klaxon started blaring. Emet started, one hand again vanishing beneath the poncho, this time emerging with a blaster carbine, its barrel cut down, presumably for ease of concealment. He stared at them accusingly.
"You bring the Empire with you!"
"Not on purpose,"
Solo swore, turning and drawing his pistol. Chewie had opened the door and was sticking his head out, bowcaster at the ready. The Wookiee growled back at Solo over his shoulder.
"Chewie says it's clear. We should move."
"Stairs at the end of the hall," Emet said. "Safer than the lift."
"You heard the man," Solo said.
Chewie led, long legs taking him down the hall quickly enough that Solo and Emet had to run to keep up.
They reached the door to the stairs, and the Wookiee hit the panel. But the door refused to open. Chewie slapped a hand against the panel a second time, and there was a whining noise. On the display above it, Solo could read the words, "Emergency Lockout."
"Environmental emergency," Solo muttered. "Of course the building sealed itself off."
"Elevator," Emat hissed.
"Get it open," Solo told Chewbacca,
turning back toward the elevators and pressing his side against the wall. Emat, on the opposite side of the hall, was mirroring the maneuver, bringing up his carbine. Behind him came the sound of metal tearing as Chewie tore the door panel's access plate free from the wall and began yanking at wires.
"Don't hotwire it! Open it!"
Chewie snarled, and Solo thought it better not to respond. All the more so since that was the moment the elevator chimed and its doors opened to reveal the same droid from the port. It whirled into view, planting itself squarely and bringing up both its guns. From the corner of his eye, Solo could see Emat glaring at him.
"On the bright side," Solo said, "they're not Imperials."
"Then who are they?" Emat demanded.
"Bounty hunters."
The droid opened fire, ripping plaster chunks off the wall over Solo's head.
"Bounty hunters?"
Emat sounded incredulous.
"You let bounty hunters follow you?"
"I didn't let them do anything."
Solo snapped off two shots, both hits. Neither seemed to bother the droid much at all, because it immediately returned fire.
"Deal, you sold us out! It's not my fault!"
Behind him, Chewie roared in fury, and Solo twisted around in time to see that the Wookiee had abandoned trying to rewire the panel and now had both hands wedged in the seam of the door to the stairwell. He roared again, louder, and the door suddenly broke apart with a gratifying sound of rending metal. Chewie looked at him satisfied.
"Yes, you're very strong. Go!"
Solo gestured to Emat.
"Go!"
Emat loosed three shots of suppressing fire from his carbine in quick succession, and Solo followed those with another four from his pistol. With a lunge, Emat was off the wall and through the door. Chewie after him. Solo laid down another salvo, then followed the others into the stairwell. Chewie was somehow again in the lead, leaping from landing to landing ahead of them, bowcaster gripped in one fist. Emat clambered down the steps after him, with Solo on his tail, checking over his shoulder. For a handful of seconds, there was nothing but the sound of their movement as they descended as quickly as possible. And then, a blaster shot rang out from above and shattered the concrete, a bare centimeter from Solo's left foot. He fired back, up the stairwell, without looking. The sound of a Wookiee snarl filled the space, echoing, and Solo looked down, past Emat. Chewie had reached the bottom of the stairs. The Kubaz bounty hunter had anticipated this escape route and was trying to cut them off. Solo pushed past Emat and raised his blaster, trying to find a shot, but the angle was horrible. Chewie and the Kubaz were too close to each other for Han to risk it. The Wookiee roared again, and with one hand lifted the Kubaz by the front of his shirt and smashed him against the wall. Then Chewbacca tossed him through the now open doors into the lobby.
"Okay," Emat said. "He's strong."
"Move!"
Solo said. They emerged into the lobby, the old man still on his bench.
"I did what you asked!"
He held out a palm. Solo flipped some credits at the old man and ran through the lobby, Emat beside him. Chewie was now behind them, and Solo once again heard the distinctive snap of the bowcaster firing, the bass thud of the shot smashing into a wall. Higher-pitched blaster fire chased them out into the street, and Solo turned to head for the speeder, catching movement off to his right. The human had taken position behind what Solo intuited was the bounty-hunting team's own speeder. Solo lashed a hand back to grab Emat's poncho and pulled him down as he dove. The human shot sizzled overhead and punched a dent in the facade of the hotel.
"They're not using stun," Solo said.
Then more indignantly,
"They're trying to kill us!"
The Wookiee reached down and yanked Solo back to his feet, Solo in turn pulling Emat up after him. Chewie woofed.
"Alive," Solo said. We're worth more alive!
Less talk, more run, Emat said. They made the corner and turned it as another shot narrowly skimmed past Solo's shoulder. A swoop bike was parked a half dozen meters short of where Solo had left the speeder. It hadn't been there before, and he nearly smashed into it. He twisted and kept running for the V-40. Solo vaulted into the speeder's front seat, thankful he'd left the top down, and Emat similarly tumbled into the passenger seat beside him. The vehicle sagged on its repulsors as Chewie dove into the back. Solo kicked the engine to life, slammed the throttle forward, and wrenched the yoke, and the speeder shot forward and slewed into a 180. Ahead of them now, the human was standing in the open and raising his rifle to his shoulder. The weapon was scoped, and Solo could swear he felt the reticle on him, the crosshairs settling between his eyes. The speeder howled, launching toward the man. Solo realized he was about to get shot. There was nothing he could do. No place to move the speeder. No other direction to turn. The human had him dead to rights. Beside him, Emat was on one knee in his seat. Raising his own carbine to his shoulder, he fired. Solo was certain he'd missed, but the human bounty hunter staggered and fell, his own shot going wild. The speeder tore forward as Solo brought it through the turn, accelerating back in the direction of the hotel. They flew past the entrance just as the Gron and the droid emerged. Chewie fired once, the bowcaster's bolt exploding over the bounty hunter's heads, then ducked down to avoid return fire. Solo on the rear screen projection saw the Gron go down, pelted by rubble. The droid loosed a salvo at them, one of the bolts skipping off the tail of the speeder. The vehicle dipped, and Solo jerked the yoke and brought it back under control.
I hope you have a plan, Emat said.
Yes, we have a plan, Solo said. We go to the port, we go to our ship, we leave. That's the plan. It's a good plan.
It's not a very good plan.
I can take you back to your hotel if you'd like, Solo said.
No, thank you, Emat said. We'll try your plan.
Solo swung the speeder onto the main drag and opened the throttle to full. Buildings and vehicles blurred past. He checked the rear screen again, catching his breath. Chewbacca was reloading.
She sold us out,
Solo said. The Wookiee snarled angrily.
Then how else did they know where to find us?
Solo demanded.
I can think of a couple of ways,
Emat said, settling back in his seat.
Betrayal isn't the only option.
Yeah, well, it's the one I'm used to.
I feel sorry for you, then. Trust is as precious as it is rare, but you only get it by giving it.
Emat was sounding an awful lot like the old man had.
Trust isn't given, it's earned, Solo said. Like friendship.
You must be very lonely,
Emat said. Solo didn't respond.